Ladies and gentlemen, thinkers and debaters, fence sitters and firebrands, welcome to the Big Top of Talk, the high-flying, death-defying, no-holds-barred spectacle of ideas. This is Common Ground, where left meets right, up meets down, and common sense fights to survive. We're here to cut through the noise, bridge the divide, and maybe, just maybe, find a little middle ground along the way. So grab your coffee, buckle up, and keep your hands inside the conversation at all times. Because it's time for open minds, open dialogue, and maybe even a little common ground for the common good.
Try to see it my way. Do I have to keep on talking till I can go on? While you see it your way, run the risk of knowing that our love may soon be gone. We can work it out. We can work it out.
Welcome back to another episode of Common Ground right here live on KNTR Talk. Remember, if you're traveling through the tri-state, you can listen in on 106.3 in Golden Valley and Kingman, 106.5 in Laughlin, Bullhead, Mojave Valley and Needles, and 106.7 right here live in Lake Havasu. This show is brought to you by our co-creator Ronnie Oakley, productions manager Paul Lavoy, and our co-hosts Melissa Lucas and Jim Cheney.
All right. Thank you, Marissa. Good morning, Jim.
Well, good morning.
And we have a guest today on the line, Bonnie.
She's invisible.
No. Good morning.
Good morning. Today we're going to be talking a little bit about sanctuary cities. And for those of you who don't know what sanctuary cities are, I looked up the definition of sanctuary cities, and it says more precisely it would be a jurisdiction. Like, you can have a sanctuary state or a county, and this would be a place that limits cooperation with federal immigration enforcement. There are, 31% of America is now in some sort of sanctuary. Did you know that? That's a lot.
31%.
31% now. And in 1987, Oregon was the first state to become a sanctuary state. And I was actually a freshman in high school in 1987, and we talked about this in current events. I remember this happening as a big thing all over the news. And now here we are. It's all over the news still.
What did they teach you?
About sanctuary cities. That it was a good thing that we were sanctuary. I mean, it sounds like the Garden of Eden. Lovely, right? Sanctuary. We were taught that it was a good thing. So I guess I was indoctrinated a little bit. but that's, you know, what I remember is, look at us. We're leading. We're leaders. We're providing a safe place. That's sanctuary. I didn't really understand. I mean, I was a child. I didn't understand really fully what that meant, or I didn't know what a sleeper cell was, or any of the things that we're looking at today.
To a great extent,
I don't think
we're worried about sleeper cells when it comes to sanctuary cities too much.
Yeah.
I don't think that's the major issue. But we do have a guest on the line that I think started to say something.
Yeah, I was just going to ask if how her opinion has changed over the years.
Well, I've been watching the collapse of Portland for a while now. There's so many different parts of it, and it's hard to say that this one thing caused it, but it certainly contributed to it. If that makes sense. Portland has been, it's a good example for me because I'm in the middle of it. I was in Portland last night. Actually, my flight was delayed, so I was there till almost midnight last night. I'm there all the time, and my dad grew up there. My grandparents live there, so it's important to me, and I used to be really proud to be from there, and now I ask my friends to come visit me at my Havasu house.
Portland, that is the home of the Portland Jailblazers?
The Trailblazers.
The Jailblazers.
Trail.
Oh, there's the
Trailblazers.
They're not the
Jailblazers.
Correct. I thought they were the Jail.
No, the Trailblazers, yes. In fact,
they were always
here,
in jail.
Why would you think they were jailblazers?
Because they're always getting arrested.
Here's a fun fact. Yeah. Chris Dudley, who was a Oregon Trailblazer, is running for governor in Oregon right now.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
No.
Yeah. We've got an election. We've got Tina Kotek up there. She's the only person. She's the standing governor. She's the only person running on the governor ticket. And then there's like five different Republicans, and Dudley's one of them.
So let's have our guest, Bonnie. Did we introduce Bonnie?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. I'm sorry. I was flashing notes.
Slightly. Yes. Yes.
Producer here. So tell us what's so good about sanctuary cities.
Well, it just depends upon what the sanctuary city is sanctuary. Because when I looked up different things about sanctuary cities the last few days, the one thing I found is, for one, in sanctuary cities, apparently, according to CDC, I believe it was CDC report that I read, there's less crime rate in sanctuary cities. Like, the crime rate has gone down in those. A friend of mine, though, when I showed him that report, said, but that could be because there's less reporting of the sanctuary cities. And the other issue is, I believe in Second Amendment sanctuary cities, like in Bullhead City. Bullhead City is a Second Amendment sanctuary city. Mojave County is
on,
a...
Hold on, Bonnie, I want to help you.
Yes.
I'm good. I think I know where you're going on this. I think you misspoke. I think you're referring to Needles.
No.
A sexual...
Bullhead City is also a sanctuary city for the Second Amendment, and as well as Mojave County is a constitutional sanctuary city, and unfortunately, Lake Havasu City, our city council and mayor, back in 2020, December, attempted to make Lake Havasu a constitutional sanctuary city, and was denied because the mayor said that our governor and our government already follows the Constitution, so we don't have to be a constitutional sanctuary city because we already follow the Constitution.
What are you saying a constitutional... You've got me lost, Bonnie.
A constitutional sanctuary city, is that...
So... For instance, in 2020, we had a lot of issues worldwide with people taking away constitutional rights, governors of different states making things such as vaccine mandates a requirement, mask mandates a requirement against people's constitutional rights. And because of that, they attempted to make... constitutional cities. And it wasn't just Havasu that was attempting that. That Mojave County and the supervisors at that time did that for Mojave County. So Mojave County is a constitutionally protected sanctuary county.
Yeah.
Okay. The point of today's show is sanctuary cities in regards to immigration.
Right.
Yes.
So
And when you think about it, but being a constitutional sanctuary city, that means the Constitution is being protected, which hopefully that means your illegal immigration is not an issue in that kind of a city, because when it comes to that, you're going to be able to say, we follow the Constitution, and that's what you're protected under.
So, Bonnie, do you think that if you have a sanctuary city, do you think that that city may act like a magnet for illegal immigrants to go to and encourage unlawful entry?
I do believe that any place that has sanctuary for anyone of any kind is going to be a magnet for that type of situation. Like you said, Needles is considered a sanctuary city for the Second Amendment as well. And so people in California, if they feel they need to, are here because they know they can be protected.
So, okay. So California people that want to carry guns are going to all move to Needles? Is that what you mean? Like, by,
they might.
I guess it's the same type of thing, like is a magnet for immigration.
I think what you're saying, in Arizona, we don't have the restrictive gun laws that they do in California. So it's not that Bullhead City and Lake Havasu City are sanctuary cities when it comes to the Second Amendment. It's that we are in Arizona and we're not having laws that are contradictory to the Second Amendment, like the state of California. And then, and to give a little backdrop, the mayor of Needles, he turned around and he said, we're going to make Needles a Second Amendment sanctuary city because we have this golf course here in Needles and so many people carry guns in their vehicles in Arizona, and we want these people from Mojave Valley, Willow Valley, Bullhead City, Lake Havasu City, we invite them to come play our golf course in Needles, and I don't want to turn them into felons because they forgot to take their guns out of their car. That's what they're doing. And Havasu and Bullhead City, we're still just saying, no, you can, you're following the law by carrying a gun in your car. You can wear it on your belt and go into the store.
Now, I wonder if that increased or decreased the crime rate there, because she had mentioned that the sanctuary cities have lower crime rates. Now, interesting, the argument for that, for the lower crime rates, is that the people that are illegal are not going to be afraid to go to the police to report a crime, like in a sanctuary city, because they're not scared of getting deported like they would be in other locations. So maybe part of it is because they're not reporting, like your friend said, Bonnie, or maybe it's because they are reporting them. You know, it's hard to say.
Well, it's like Gavin Newsom has done. The way you bring the crime rate down is you make crime legal.
What?
Well, that really worked in Oregon with the drug thing, didn't it?
Yeah.
When we made drugs all drugs, fentanyl, heroin, bring it on in.
Sit out there in the street and shoot on up, baby. Here, let me give you a syringe.
You know, they circled back. They changed that. They decided it was a bad idea.
Question, though,
recently.
For the Second Amendment sanctuary cities, I fail to understand, why do we need sanctuary cities if it's the Second Amendment right to bear arms?
Aren't we all in America here?
You're exactly right.
Don't we all have the same constitution?
In Arizona we do.
You might want to ask Gavin Newsom that question.
That is a really good point, Marissa, because we do have the right.
You might want to ask Katie Hobbs.
We do have the right to bear arms.
Yeah, that's just a little bit of a All right, we do need to take our first break of the hour. So stay tuned to Common Ground on KNTR Talk 106.7, 106.5, and 106.3, the voice of the free. All right, welcome back to Common Ground on KNTR Talk. A bit of a weird song choice, but that relates to our Today in Music History. Today in 2013, a Canadian astronaut records a rendition of David Bowie's Space Oddity while in orbit, and it goes viral. And we would also like to thank our sponsors for helping us bring this show to you, starting with Blonzy Steakhouse, mouthwatering steaks and a breakfast menu that has everyone talking. Whether it's a date night or brunch with friends, great taste is always on the menu. Blonzy's is where Havasu eats off London Bridge Road in Desert Hills. Golden Valley Auto Parts and Hardware. Why not grab yourself a shiny new Boom Boom Stick today? That's right, folks. Now with their brand new federal firearm license, it's your all-in-one mecca of paint, auto, hardware, and Second Amendment glory. GoldenValleyHardware.com, just off Bowie Road in Golden Valley. Annie's Thrift Shop. Shopping at Annie's Thrift Store isn't just about great deals, it's about giving back. Every purchase helps support local charities, making your find more than just a bargain. It's a blessing. Annie's Thrift Store, thrifting with a purpose, off Northern Avenue in Kingman. Martin Swanee Chrysler Dodge, Jeep, Ram, and Kia. Since 1985, Martin Swanee Kingman has been more than a dealership. It's a legacy built on honest deals and handshakes. Find out what your ride is worth today at martinswaneechryslerdodgejeep.com off East Andy Devine in Kingman. And Neat Pool and Supply, serving Lake Havasu since 1970. Expert consultations to top-notch supplies and service, they got everything for pools and spas. Family-owned and operated right in the heart of Havasu. It's where your backyard oasis begins, located at 52 Scott Drive. Thank you to all of our sponsors. And before we get into the show, I have quick housekeeping. This weekend is the Mojave County Sheriff's Office annual life jacket exchange at the London Bridge Beach from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. Bring in your worn, torn life jackets in exchange for a brand new vest style jacket. Orange Type 2 jackets are not accepted, and this is first come, first serve, so get there early. All right, back to you guys.
Hey, what's a Boom Boom Stick?
Oh, that's that would be Red Bull over there being funny. A gun.
It's a gun.
A
okay.
Rifle.
Boom.
So yeah,
we can buy guns
boom
at the hardware store.
Yeah. And,
well, that's the way it used to be. You used to get ice cream, you get your gun, get your drugs, get
ammo.
Everything you needed at the drugstore.
Sounds, yeah.
No.
We'll have to check it out. All right. One of the things that one of the arguments that is against sanctuary cities is that it impedes federal enforcement of rule of law, because there's the sanctuary part of it for that particular branch, like for the ICE version. It limits the local police support of federal enforcement.
Well, when you're hiding people that are guilty of crimes that entered the country illegally, and then you want to release them back into the country so they commit a crime, then you try to say it's safer by people who support sanctuary cities, it's safer to release this person back into the community as he's a criminal, and like criminals do as criminals do, and they're often repeat offenders, whether they're citizens or non-citizens. Repeat offenders tend to repeat, okay? Mm-hmm. And we take them and we throw them back into society, and we have to go arrest them again rather than send them out of the country.
Right.
And try to say that this makes America better. I know we got a text message.
We do have a text, so let me read this. Okay, so I want to point out the problem for immigration sanctuary cities. Illegal immigrants are illegal. It's in the name. So when cities make it okay for them to be there when they are... them to be there, then they are essentially saying, we are against the law. It's the same if you had a murder sanctuary city, etc. But gun sanctuary cities, it's because the state has infringed on rights.
Yeah, that was confusing to us. Like, why would you have to have a Second Amendment sanctuary city if you've been given the Second Amendment as an American?
Right.
Well, because they're infringing on it in California.
They're not supposed to be able to do that.
Well, but they do, and the majority seem
to... Not just California.
Right. There's 11. There's 11 states that are sanctuary states.
Not just California.
31% of...
Well, let's not confuse conflate our sanctuary cities with attacks on the Second Amendment.
True.
So they
can be sanctuary for different things.
In California, you need Second Amendment sanctuary cities. They should have, every city in California should be a Second Amendment constitutionally protected city. When you have the leadership who is too happy to infringe on your rights as a citizen.
You know what, Bonnie? We just found something we agree on.
Common ground. Look
Holy
at that.
Mackerel. I agree with you, buddy.
Our first common ground of the show.
I agree with you. Oh, my goodness. Now, let's go, and one of the things that happens, people talk about, well, is it going to make us better? Is it safer? Do they contribute to the economy? Can we go with cut two there, Marissa?
Yes. Cut two is this.
This will be Lindsey Graham, Senator Lindsey Graham, on a short little ditty. The welfare, yes.
All right.
59% of legal immigrant households on government welfare programs costing taxpayers $42 billion a year. That's some real money.
$42 billion a year from illegal aliens living in the United States getting welfare benefits. And then you go into a House meeting and they want to talk about budgeting and wasting money, that it's a waste of money to have Homeland Security and they're so wrong and they're bad and they're evil. And then you turn around and it's $42 billion that the freeloaders are taking of American money, and they're not even American citizens.
What do you think about the president withholding the money? If you don't comply, I'm going to cut off your allowance.
I think it's great. You got to find a way to twist their arm and get them to comply. It's absolutely ridiculous to me and they want to say, oh, the police need to be the police. The police need to police. If you're making them work, pick up the phone and say, yeah, Bob over at Homeland Security, Steve over here at Lake Havasu Police Department, we got this guy robbed a liquor store. And, he's illegal. We're going to let him out Tuesday at noon. You want to come get him? Okay, okay. Okay, Bob, see you later. Click.
That's the end of it.
And that's the end of it. And then they would be removed, and we wouldn't have to deal with them again. And by not doing those things,
right,
we end up with, and this is, hang in there with us, Bonnie, this is a little bit longer clip. But can we do clip three here?
Fairfax police warned prosecutors about repeat offender months before deadly bus stop stabbing. Now, this gentleman here, Abdullah, what's his name? Jalal, was in custody and had a pretty bad rap sheet. People in the prosecution business say, don't release this guy. I mean, deport this guy. Turn him over. Don't release him. That was good advice. It was not taken. This young lady here, Stephanie Minter, was murdered by this man. And we had this man in detention in Fairfax County. And they refused to turn him over for deportation. He was allowed to stay in the county. And the rest is history. A young mom is dead because of that decision. And who was this guy? He came to the country in 2012. He was arrested 30 times. Whoa. Rape, malicious wounding, and assault. 2020, ICE submits a form of detainer to deport him. The request is blocked by Virginia's attorney for Fairfax County. A source-backed prosecutor and defender of sanctuary cities who ignored the detainer. On May 2025, he was arrested once more for stabbing.
So I do have a question with sanctuary cities and the whole immigration system. I don't know.
Arrest.
Okay.
May 2025, stab somebody in the leg, let him go again. February 2026, just months later, he murders Miss Pinter. I'm not okay with that.
Wow. Yeah. Arrested 30 times.
30 times.
Stabbed somebody?
To be clear, he was not stealing baseball cards at the market basket. He was beating, raping, and stabbing Americans. He was here illegally, and because he was in a sanctuary city, they let him stay here. They released him Let's call it 29 times.
Ignored the order. That's the sentence that I pulled out of that clip. They ignored the order. And if they would have just done what they're ordered to do and worked with the feds, that wouldn't have happened.
And in that hearing, it was amazing the ability of Democrats to not hear what you just heard.
So, Bonnie, what was your question?
So, one, just so you know, I did not get to hear the clip. There was no sound for me at all, which is fine.
No.
But
well,
that's why I kind of was trying to interrupt, because I felt bad if there was silence for everybody else.
We were listening to a clip from the senator. Was that a senator?
Senator Lindsey Graham.
And he was describing one individual who was an illegal who'd been arrested 30 times. And ended up killing somebody, causing a rape
and they kept letting him go.
Yeah, they kept letting him go, like, and ignoring the order, because he had an order to deport, and they just kept letting 30 times.
He stabbed a guy in the leg. He raped a woman. He beat somebody else. These weren't traffic tickets. This wasn't stealing baseball cards at the market basket.
In cases like that. Why is not the judicial system held responsible? Why is it the immigration system being held responsible? Everybody else is held responsible, but the judges. Like, the judge knows, hey, I've seen this guy 30 times, I'm going to let him out again. Or he's been here 30 times, but, oh, well, I'm going to let him out again. Why isn't the judge being held responsible for that? Because he let them, or she let them out, and
ignored the order. So you have a problem with the same thing I do. Ignored the order,
right,
of deportation,
right.
I don't think that's what she's saying. I think what Bonnie is saying is the judge saw this guy the first time, and then he saw him 29 more times. Why didn't he throw away the key?
Yes.
Why didn't he throw away the key?
He's not, right. And that person, that man who did it 30 times, is not the only one. When you look back to last year, to the young lady who was murdered, that man was, what, released like 35, 36 times? I don't know exactly, but it was multiple times. And then the man with Daniel Penny, that man, not illegal, but had, I don't know how many arrests, and was repeatedly left. He was even, his family had even asked for them to help the man, and they did not get the help they needed for the mother had said it, I believe, if I read one report right. My question is, in regards to all of this, the Sanctuary City issue and the crime issue, for one, I do believe in, and let me say the whole thing out, defunding the police, but the way I believe in defunding the police is stop committing crimes. Because if you aren't committing crime, then the police don't have to chase you. And if they don't have to chase you, they don't need 100 cops to chase one person.
So you support Gavin Newsom making crime legal?
No, I did not say make crime legal.
So if we defund the police and we don't have, Bonnie, if we defund the police and we don't have police, how are we supposed to stop the criminals? I'm not, that's not funny. I mean, go ahead, make your point.
I said, do not commit crime. If you're not committing a crime, the police do not have to chase you down because you're not committing a crime.
There will always be criminals, so there's always going to be bad people doing bad things. That's not really something we can stop.
The fact is,
you're not going to stop all crime, but you can reduce some crime.
If we just tell them not to do it?
That's not what I said either.
I think it is.
Actually.
That's what I heard.
If that helps, if that suggestion helps people to change, like, what is it? Why are they committing crime? Why do they want to go back to jail? Why do they want that repeat behavior?
I mean, if there's no consequence, then what's to stop them from doing it over and over and over? If they can rob a liquor store and then get out the next day, why not rob the liquor store the next day? I mean, maybe that's the...
Which is why they have to enforce the crimes, but then also teach them, help them to not commit the crime again. I'm talking, they just need to stop committing, not...
In an ideal world, that would be amazing.
Yeah. What a beautiful
I am saying
world.
That the criminals need to stop committing crime.
Well, but they're
That's
not
it.
Going to because they're criminals. That's what they do. It's how they roll.
And they don't get in trouble.
And you don't wag a finger at them and say, don't you go rob that store now. Don't you do that.
I'm not saying that.
You're saying don't be chemical. There's a movie... And, Team America. It's a cart, you know, it's made with the puppets. And it's vulgar, but they were spoofing Kim Jong-il, and they're talking about when they were going to go inspect him. And he said, oh, we're going to write you a really mean letter.
I haven't seen
that. And it doesn't add up.
We got to cut to a break here. You guys text us in at 928-727-5566. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back to Common Ground on KNTR Talk 106.7, 106.5, and 106.3, the voice of the free. This is another Today in Music History. Today in 1973, Led Zeppelin's Houses of the Holy goes number one in America. And we would like to thank the rest of our sponsors. Trailside Firearms and Trading Company. Buy, sell, trade, new iron, old iron, full collections, and if you're looking for something special or hard to find, Trailside makes it happen. Getting a fair deal in what you want today. This is the trail you take. TrailsideFTC.com, Main Street, Havasu. Parker's Collision Center. Locally world famous, and they accept all insurances. The only one-stop shop in Mojave County with a state-of-the-art paint booth big enough for RVs to 18-wheelers. From fender benders to full-size giants, take it over to two decades of experience. Parker's Collision Center, 10479 at Brockman Road, Mojave Valley. Perfectly pressed cleaners. Life's busy, but your laundry doesn't have to be. They'll handle it all. Dry cleaning, everyday laundry, and even delivery right to your door for just $10 from Kingman to Parker. Let the pros do the washing while you do the living. 2231 McCulloch Boulevard, North Havasu. And Bullhead Vape Shop. Not your typical vape store. No weird smells, no cluttered shelves, no cheap mystery products. Just clean, high-quality vapes and better experience every time you walk in. Bullhead Vape Bundle Deal gets you a disposable for just $17.50. Two locations, just before Needles in Mojave Valley and just north of Camp Mojave Road off the 95 Fort Mojave. Sorry about that. And one last housekeeping. This Friday is Slider Safari by River Cities United Way. It's going to be on the London Bridge Beach on that stage, so just turn left after Javelina Cantina. And we do have free general admission tickets at our front desk, so come visit the station and grab your general admission ticket. And stay tuned, because I believe Paul Lavoie on Speak Out is going to be giving away two all-inclusive passes to Slider Fest. Ooh, awesome. Slider Fest. Sounds fun.
Slider Fest.
Yeah.
You know, I really need to, the next time I go into Stubby's, introduce myself to Stubby, because I hear these wonderful things about him. He works out all the time.
Yeah.
He works out. Go see Stubby, and you can see why they call him Stubby. Oh. But, you know, you go in there with Hank the Tank, and you have Hank the Tank, the propane tank, the pig, and have a stare down with him, and whoever leaks first loses, and I lose every time.
All right, you guys, don't forget to text us in at 928-727-5566. Curious what your thoughts are. One of the things about that we haven't talked about yet on Sanctuary Cities is the economic impact. And again, you guys know I'm from Oregon. I was in Portland last night. This is one, and they were the first to do this. One of the things that is really stands out in Portland is economic impact. This may or may not, be from the sanctuary city. I believe, in my opinion, that it is a portion of it. There's a lot of straws on the camel's back that is causing the collapse of Portland right now. But this, I put a list together, but this one really, really bothers me, is the skyscrapers. So in the last 2-3 years, we have lost 3 skyscrapers. I'm talking the iconic Portland big pink Tower of Power skyscrapers. So the first one, Montgomery Park, sold August 2024 for $33 million, down from $255 million in just 2019. Can you guys imagine buying a building in 2019 for $255 million? And having to sell it in 2024 for 33 at an 87% drop. So then you've got the Pacific West Center, which sold in October of 2025, so less than a year ago, for $55.7 million, down from $170 million in 2016, a 67% drop. And then here's the big one. This is the big pink Tower Power that everyone loves, iconic building in Portland, the U.S. Bank Corp Tower. Sold in July 2025 for $45 million, down from $372 million in 2015, an 88% value drop. Yikes! So those are three. Portland doesn't even have very many skyscrapers. Like, I don't know, 5 or 6. Not a lot. But when you pull up any picture of the skyline, you're looking at those three buildings, and they just went for pennies on the dollar. And I do know somebody that works in one of them. He's on the 11th floor. He's the only dude on there, him and some other guy. The whole place is empty, and the whole bottom floor is completely unoccupied. You've got homeless people. You've got feces in the street. You've got crime. You've got, drugs everywhere, because remember, we decided that it would be okay to decriminalize all drugs. And they did change that, so now they're enforcing fines again. But because it was decriminalized for so long, the cops cannot get a handle on it, and they just – it's out of control. And it's really, really scary.
You know, and it gets out of control, and along with what Bonnie was talking about with the judge – If they weren't a sanctuary city, yes, he should have thrown away the key. However, if they weren't a sanctuary city, the first time that guy committed a crime, he'd have been gone. He wouldn't have had to have seen him 29 more times.
Right.
And that costs money, because you're paying the judge, you're paying the recorder, you're paying the guards, you got to keep him in jail, just get him out, and we don't have to deal with them anymore. You're looking at me like you got a text.
I do, actually. The first one relating to the criminals. We're all sinners, and police and law enforcement is God's sovereign power to enforce consequences for those who commit crime. If we just flip a switch and not commit crime, there would be no need for Jesus, they said. And then we have a second one.
Well, what are they saying?
What?
I mean,
no need for Jesus.
No need.
That's a total different subject, because sin and crime may be, yes, on par, but the need for Jesus isn't just about the crimes.
Correct.
Yeah.
I agree with you, Bonnie.
Yeah, it was a little bit of a different thing.
Don't tell anyone.
And then we have another text here. Governor Katie Hobbs strongly opposes Border Czar. Sorry, I don't know how to pronounce
Border
that.
Border Czar.
Tom Homan's strategy of flooding U.S. cities with ICE agents. Hobbs says, keep ICE agents off Arizona streets, arguing it would endanger communities and interrupt local law enforcement operations.
And it's insane.
Question for Bonnie. Is Hobbs justified in her actions?
Is it constitutional? That's why we need constitutional cities in a state when we have a governor who doesn't uphold the Constitution.
And she has no intention of doing it. The thing that gets me is she says, we're trying to get people out who have committed crimes. We were getting 15,000 illegal immigrants into the country in one day at a time during the Biden administration. 15,000. Somebody made the point the other day about reading The Art of War, because this, and it came back to the Chinese mayor, who turns out to be spreading Chinese propaganda and working for the Chinese government, a mayor in California, I believe it was Arcadia.
Didn't she just step down?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, she got caught.
Yeah.
She got caught.
That happens when they get caught.
Yeah.
They
whoop, I saw you. So she goes away. And now, if we didn't have these people here, Richard Nixon wrote a book, too, called No More Vietnams. And basically what the North did was they sent peacefully their communists into the South, and then they snuck them in guns. And then they let them vote, and then you end up with a civil war. And that, unfortunately, is the problem. There's a phrase, and I have to admit I didn't hear it until this week. It's called suicidal empathy. Suicidal empathy. And that is where you feel your empathy leads you in a direction of feeling sorry for people that's going to end up getting you killed.
Yikes.
Interesting.
In other words,
there's another word for that, too. That happened with in the 80s with, I forget her name right now, but she was kidnapped and then became compassionate.
Patty Hearst.
Yes.
And that was a little different. That is called the syndrome, Stockholm syndrome. That's a little bit different. That's where you get kidnapped and they start telling you, this is the way it is, this is the way it is, this, and then you say,
yeah.
Oh, you're right. My dad was bad and evil. He was a horrible person. The fact is, he might have been.
Here's a question.
Maybe he wasn't a great guy. He was a bit of a commie, old Hearst. But
Here's a question for you in regards to illegal immigration in Sanctuary City. We can talk about it all day long, but what is your actual solution? Because there has not been a solution that has been implemented.
That's a fabulous question.
Everybody's really good at criticizing all the things that don't work.
Well,
so
Bonnie,
what will work?
Bonnie, I believe you and I agree that if on the first time this individual who got arrested 30 times and ended up killing somebody that was an illegal alien, if he would have been taken out of the country after the first time that judge called him, saw him,
Correct. That
would have eliminated 29 problems.
Right.
And somebody would still
maybe
be alive
not.
Today. What do you mean, maybe not? If that guy was sent
because
out of the country...
Yeah, they kept letting him go.
They kept letting him go.
We don't know what he would have done when he went back to his home country. We don't know...
I don't care if he goes back to Ecuador or wherever the hell heck he was from.
I understand. You're assuming because that he is taken out in one time, then he's going to be perfect and innocent and great in that other country. But
I'm not even talking about the other country, Bonnie. We're talking about the United States of America. If they're in the United States of America and they're committing crimes and we send them to another country, they are absolutely not committing any more crimes in the United States of America.
But we don't know what they're doing there. And I'm not saying that we're in charge.
They're not doing it here, right? They're not doing it here.
What happens if after several years of doing it there, they decide to come back here? Then they have to face it again.
Then we have to kick them out again.
That's all I'm
saying. Then we'll worry about it.
Exactly.
We'll worry about it then. But I don't want the worst of the worst people coming into this country.
No.
You know, MS-13 gang members getting the benefit of a sanctuary city. It's utterly ridiculous to me.
We got about a minute left, so final thoughts, common ground.
Well, Bonnie, first of all, I want to say thank you.
Yes.
Thank you. We appreciate your opinions and your input into our conversation and your involvement in the community here. And I think that the way to fix it is to do what we're doing right now, is to keep talking about it and educating the public and trying to find common ground, trying to bring down the temperature and talk logically and put it on the table. That's what the show is all about.
Right?
What do you think, my friend?
I think it was refreshing that I actually found common ground with Bonnie. And I think we can agree on things. It is disturbing to me to watch, like, the Senate House meeting, and they make points, like, of this individual got murdered by a person who had been arrested 30 times, an illegal alien, and then the Democrats in the room, it seems they were unable to hear it, and they ignore basic facts, and that gets...
Which is sad.
Annoying. It is sad.
It seems,
thank you,
yeah,
Bonnie.
It seems like there is no single perfect solution to the Sanctuary Cities conflict.
I think there is. But eliminate
them.
Well,
I think we have to...
There's no purpose. I think we have to improve
our immigration system and how people are allowed to come in. That's what we need. One of those things is what we need to work on. One of the other things I think we should work on is the communication between all of that. Like, you can't solve the problem by ignoring the problem, and you can't solve the problem by yelling and screaming at the problem and belittling the problem. And no, you have to, like you said, common ground. You have to talk it out. We have to come up with a solution for people, because there are people who need sanctuary, honestly, and then there are people who are taking advantage of it, and we do need to figure out who's who, and we need to encourage everyone.
Right. Well, thank you. Yeah. Thank you, Bonnie. We're out of time here, but thank you again. We really appreciate it, and build this city on some rock and roll. We'll see you guys next week. Thank you so much.
And stay tuned to KNTR Talk on Speak Out Today. We will have Lake Havasu City Manager Jess Knutson and the Havasu Youth Advisory Council. We'll catch you next week. Sinking in your fight.
This is KNTR Talk, KGJJ HD2 Laughlin. Heard on 106.7 FM, 106.5, and 106.3. The voice of the free.